Hi, thanks for the offer to come on the show today. Yes, I'm just at the end of my first term. Rocky DeWitt, been a lifelong Woodbury County resident, been involved in business, large and small. I've been a union member, currently work for the Sheriff's Office part-time as well as the Board of Supervisors. It's just been a great county to live in. It's been a challenge on this first term, but it's been enjoyable at the same time. I can't believe it's been almost 4 years. So,
all right,
I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Well, Rocky, now we're going to turn things over now to Democrat Patty Erickson Putman. Patty, you have 1 minute.
Hi, my name is Patty Erickson Putman. I too am a lifelong resident of Woodbury County, and I previously worked for the Woodbury County Board of Supervisors for Disability Services. So I have a wide background in grant writing, development of services for the disabled populations. I currently live on a farm outside of Sioux City in rural Woodbury County. And so I have an additional perspective, I think, on agricultural needs and agricultural inputs to the area.
All right. Thank you, Patty. We're going to now move to District 3, and we'll start with Republican incumbent Keith Radig. Good afternoon.
We're District 1.
Oh, sorry. District 1. It says District 3 on my sheet. Sorry. I knew it was District 1. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Keith.
No problem. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and thanks, KWIT, for organizing this. I'm Keith Radig. Most of you know me from my past service to the City Council of Sioux City, and then my last 4 years on the County Board. A lot of people know me from working at Home Furniture for the past 15 years. And I'd like to point out, to be able to survive 15 years as a salesman in furniture, you have to be honest and hardworking. I'm married to my wife, Meredith. I have 4 kids. I have a dog. And this year we had our first grandchild, which is kind of a life-changing event, but it only really just made me more passionate about Sioux City and Woodbury County and keeping it the best place to live, work, and raise a family. So I'm very happy to be running again as a Board of Supervisor, and I think a lot of you have been able to get to know me over the years and get to know who I am as a person and how I work for you. And I just ask for your vote again here, and thanks for tuning in.
All right. Thank you, Keith. Now let's turn things over to Democrat Kevin McCormick for District 1.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. I'm looking forward to this discussion today. My name is Kevin McCormick. I'm 42 years old. I've got a wife and an 8-year-old daughter. I was born and raised here in Sioux City. I'm proud to call Iowa my home. I have strong Midwestern values rooted in working hard, doing the right thing, and being a person of integrity. I've had several careers over my lifetime. I was an auto mechanic for 9 years out of college. I owned and operated a small construction business for 5 years. And recently I chose to take an early retirement after serving for 8 years with the Sioux City Police Department as a police officer and a detective. I represent the third generation of law enforcement in my family to serve Siouxland, and I want to continue my family's legacy of service by becoming our next member of the Woodbury County Board of Supervisors. I speak truthfully, and if I tell you I will do something, I will do it. I view this position as a loud voice for all residents of Woodbury County, and if elected, I promise to work hard every single day and do everything that I can to help resolve the issues that are most important to you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. We're now going to move over to our district number 5, and we're going to move now to, let's see, we have Jeremy Taylor that'll be joining us now, and that's District 3.
Thank you very much, Jeremy Taylor, and I'm a lifelong Sioux City resident. My wife, Kim, and I have 4 girls and 2 boys. We met in Vietnam while I was on a service mission, and service is really why I'm involved in this. My parents were lifelong educators and taught me to give back, and so that's what we've done. I've been elected to the legislature in 2010 and twice to the County Board of Supervisors in 2014 and 18. And now I'm running again based on a change of residency from which I learned a great deal in that experience. But we have a unique opportunity. I was asked to run by the business community, by folks out in our rural areas who want to see us move forward in this seat for the progress that we've made over the last 5 years. To have lower tax levies each year, record economic development, a new spirit of cooperation with the City of Sioux City, Sergeant Bluff, and our rural communities, and long-term planning, which had fallen by the wayside. I look forward to running on my record of 22 accomplishments and contrasting that with my opponent. Thank you for doing this and thank you for having us.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeremy. And now let's go to incumbent Democrat Marty Potterbaum for District 3.
Thank you for having me. I want to let a few people know who I am. My name is Marty Potterbaum. I've lived in Sioux City. We moved to Sioux City when I was 2 years old, which was a lot of years ago, believe me. I'm the 13th of 15 kids, so family is very, very important to me. My wife, Candy, and I, we have five children and we have 13 grandkids. And I want to make sure that we leave the county a better place for those people. That's who I serve. I serve the people out there. I'm the one Democrat on the board right now. It's been an interesting 4 years, but I'm going to tell you, it's been an enjoyable 4 years. I think we've accomplished quite a bit. We haven't let the partisanship get in the way very often. And I think it's worked very well in that way. And I'd like to see that continue. One thing I tell everybody is I learned a lot. And that is growing up, that you never lie. I'll never lie to the citizens of Woodbury County. We may disagree, but the good thing on the county level, we can disagree and we can do it in a professional manner. So I want to serve the people and that's who I work for. And I appreciate another effort. Thank you.
All right. Marty Potterbaum, thanks. Mary.
And so first today, we're going to have some questions for Rocky DeWitt and Patty Erickson Putnam. And I guess first I'll go to Rocky and say, after a referendum earlier this year was passed, a new jail looks like we're going to be having, we'll begin construction soon. What are your concerns about its funding and safety and making sure it's adequate for the future?
Well, that's a good question because we've been working with the current LEC that was improperly designed, improperly built, underbuilt. As far as the safety issues, with the current jail, we don't have that many safety issues per se, as far as, you know, escapes, that sort of thing. But I think it'll be a lot better fit, the new LEC being out on 28th Street where we're gonna put it, in that it'll be away from downtown and less likely to just draw some of the curious onlookers, if you will, for some of the inmates, because in some of the points in the current jail there are windows going out to the public, which has caused some security issues. But regardless, we've got a great design going on. We did pass a very expensive bond issue. I do sit on the LEC authority, one of the only one in the state for that matter. And we're going to be in charge of that new facility for 20 years as an authority. So it's exciting to look forward and see that. We're going to be anticipating a fair amount of federal inmates, which will help buy the thing down, or I should say pay the bond down a lot sooner, and or eventually bring in enough revenue to lower property taxes in the near future. So again, it's been an exciting time. It's a huge learning curve right now, but my concerns are just getting it done before the current LEC fails. That is one that is, we're kind of holding our breath and crossing our fingers on that. It's just a bad situation.
All right, Rocky and Patty, same question.
I'm excited to see the planning go forward for a new law enforcement center because I think everybody realizes that the old jail needed major improvements that weren't financially smart to be placing that much money in repairs. It's being done under an authority. There's some questions on the authority as to what their ultimate power is versus the Board of Supervisors. And I understand there's going to be some amendments made to the existing Articles of Incorporation or lease to assure that the Board is the ultimate decision maker with that. One of my priorities and concerns, of course, is to continue the presence of mental health services in the jail. With the old jail, when we were first experiencing overcrowding, we started the first ever mental health court in the state of Iowa, which greatly reduced the number of jail bed days, especially and specifically for mentally ill persons that were there for simple misdemeanors and things like that. I think it's critical that we continue to make those services available through the new jail, and I look forward to it being, you know, out away from the city. I think that's a natural flow. We can arrange transportation or something of inmates that are discharged in the mornings so they're not just out walking around the facility. I think that's a part that needs to be looked at, and I'm not sure that it has been at this point. But mental health at the jail is going to be a priority and concern for me.
All right. Rocky, we're going to talk a little bit about the money that the federal government is supposed to be giving to Woodbury County to issues related to the coronavirus. How do you think the county should spend that? I think it's $1.3 million.
Well, currently, yes, we are collecting about $1.3 million, and in close talks with our financial director, Dennis Butler. His and others' ideas are that we should probably bankroll that in our reserves, get our reserves built back up, due to possibly having people asking for tax abatements or that kind of thing because due to the coronavirus. So, and the potential to have fewer property tax revenues coming in, we may need that balance sheet going forward to just kind of maintain government services for the county. So we will be looking at somewhere over $1 million. Again, that'll bring our reserves back up to the probably the necessary 17.5% of our reserves. We did go a little bit low on those. I don't think we're in any danger. We're a very fiscally sound county with some very financial astute people running the finances of our county. We're one of the lowest loan rates, borrowed money across the state at less than 2% right now. So the coronavirus did hit us. It does still have some potential, but our basic opinion consensus is that the money should go into reserves just as a backup for anything that might pop up in the future.
Oh, and Patty, what do you think should be done with the money?
Well, I think if you're receiving $1.3 million back, there had to be some basis and how that money was expended in the initial, you know, expenditures for COVID-19. If it was taken from a department, I want to make sure that that department continues to not experience a negative situation because within their budgets. But if it was, you know, requested down, there has to be some documentation of it. I think it should go back to the departments that it came from. Otherwise, sure, it needs to go back to the general fund so that it's used by all departments or by the supervisors for those balances.
Okay, thank you, Patty. And now, Patty, I'll stick with you. A couple of years ago, Woodbury County Board of Supervisors went through a lot of red tape, leaving the Sioux Rivers Regional Mental Health and Disability Services region to go to Rolling Hills. How do you feel about that decision, and did it lead, do you think, to better mental health care and disability services?
I've been concerned about that from day one. I think that the move to Rolling Hills was not in the best interest of Woodbury County. There's always been a concern that a big county could take down small counties financially, fiscally, or the small counties could take down the big counties. I think when it came to the Sioux Rivers, we were a more complementary of those three counties. And with the move to Sioux River or Rolling Hills, the the levy rate went from $28.50 to $33.63. That included a $1 million buyout or transfer over to Rolling Hills. And the rates will go up again to $37.66. to finish paying off that $1 million. There's about $170,000 continuing to be due Rolling Hills from Woodbury County. Those monies aren't going to services. They're going into the mental health fund over there. I know that people were immediately cut from services, and those are concerns of mine. The services were prioritized and in place by the public hearing process and always prioritized by the people that were receiving them or those family members. Do I have any desires to change that back and leave Rolling Hills? No, because I just don't think that confusion is in the best interest of our people, which was, you know, part of the problem of going through it in the first place. It was mass confusion,
right?
And, you know, bad feelings.
Okay, Rocky, what do you think about that? Do you think it was a good decision?
Absolutely. I was just on the phone this morning with Dawn Metzer, the director from Rolling Hills. And in every conversation I've had with her, as well as mental health professionals in this town, it has been nothing but remarkable and exemplary that Woodbury County left Sioux Rivers, which was at the time a very toxic relationship. We were paying nearly two-thirds of every dollar, being the biggest county, and it was the best move I think we made as a region, or joining a larger region, because the services are exemplary over there. Again, everybody that we've talked to is happy with the move. Let's face it, mental health costs are going up everywhere. It's a state mandated item that to regionalize, not just by the county level. I understand what she's trying to say, but at the same time, some of those were core services, non-core services, and even the director for one of the juvenile offices here in town has been easy to work with. He's been complimentary of the move to Rolling Hills and Siouxland Mental Health. So again, there'd be no reason to change. We're in a marvelous region right now, and we're going up. We're going places. We've made great progress.
And finally today, I wanted to ask about property taxes, a lot of efforts to keep property taxes down. Rocky, how important do you think it is to try and keep property taxes from rising too quickly?
Well, it's extremely important. You know, there's been, what have we been, 5 out of 6 years we've lowered the levy for the rural residents, and 6 out of 6, I think we lowered, this board lowered it for the city residents. You know, here we have an area in Sioux City, obviously is 80% of our population of the county, but we have a lot of retired people that are on fixed incomes. And while we can control the levy rates, or do our best to keep them low, obviously we can't control inflation or assessment values. But, and like I said, I work at the courthouse doing security, and during those protest times where people come in and appeal their property taxes, it's almost painful to watch. Some of those folks are just about in tears when they leave, talking about fixed incomes, and they paid $22,000 for their house 50 years ago, and now their taxes are a full third or almost a half of what they're bringing in for Social Security and their retirement plans. We just have to be on top of this levy thing as much as possible. And I think this board has done that. We've kept the levies low without cutting services. We've even added services for emergency services. So I don't think we have anything to apologize for. Again, inflation and the assessments, I think some entities probably need to do a better job of controlling the assessments on property taxes, both commercial and residential. But it's a fine balance. We really need to take care of our retired citizens out there.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Patty, what do you think about the need to keep property taxes down?
I think the need to keep property taxes down is for any level of government. But like what, you know, the per capita rates that I just went through, from $28.50 per capita to $33.63 the first year, and now up to $37.66, those are simple numbers to me. You may trade them off somewhere else, but those still represent increases in cost for the mental health area when there was no trade-off or improvement in the number of services that were being received. When we went over there, the services were immediately cut from approximately 200 people. And, you know, numbers are numbers. $28.50 now to $37.66. The other Sioux Rivers region would have gone up to $30.49, but again, that would have taken care of all existing services. Those numbers are something that they're just simple and straightforward. Those tax levies were raised. People did not receive any benefit from them. Those are areas of my concern. They need to be going forward.
All right. Thank you, Patty Erickson Putnam and Rocky DeWitt.
All right. We're going to hear now from the candidates for District 1, Republican Keith Rattig, and Democrat Kevin McCormick. And here's the first question. The building of the new jail was approved last year. And what are your concerns as this project goes forward because of funding, safety, and adequate facilities? We're going to start now with Keith Rattig.
All right. Well, if I'd like to start by pointing out 4 years ago when I ran for the Board of Supervisors, the city and the county had a hard time getting along and working together on anything. And, you know, a few years later, we worked together on the largest joint project in the state's history. We also had other great news from yesterday's meeting. We found out that our long-term bonds for the jail project, 20-year taxable bonds are coming in at 2.67%, which is lower than what we had projected at 3%. There is going to be a challenge this next year because material costs have spiked. Maybe those will come back down by the time this is going out to bid. But I would like to point out that I have a lot of experience in building projects, especially with the city. Right when I got on, I got on the museum board to work with that construction project, the police station remodel, fire station 4. I'm on the building committee for Simco on the committee side. We've encouraged development here in the future in this area as well. We're going to put in the utilities. It's about $2.5 million project alone. And once those utilities are in this area, that'll spur more development in this area as well, helping to, pay for future projects in our county. I would say the Board of Supervisors worked very hard to come up with plans that would reduce cost to taxpayers, but meet the needs, not of today, but 20 years, 30 years from now. And we're doing that with this jail project. And I would like to, pat the back of everybody that's on the Board of Supervisors for working together in the Sheriff's Office, because I think we've come up with a really great plan for the residents of Woodbury County.
All right. Thank you, Keith. Now let's move over to Kevin McCormick. The same question about the jail.
Yeah, so that's actually one of my top five objectives. I want to utilize my professional knowledge of business, construction, and law enforcement to help oversee construction of the new law enforcement center. I want to make sure that this go around, different from back in 84 when we built the current law enforcement center, that this go around, common sense decisions are being made. Best practices are being performed, and that our hard-earned tax dollars are being spent wisely. This is no doubt an extremely expensive construction, and so I think that we need to do it right. As far as any safety concerns, I'm kind of with Patty when she talks about mental health. And the idea of a mental health court. I also think that we need to be focused a little bit on substance abuse as well. I know just from my experience that a lot of the people that I arrested back in the day, I think were not necessarily criminals. They just had some mental health issues and substance abuse issues that led them to commit these crimes. The other concern that I have, the safety concern that I have is transportation because of the location. Our current jail sits downtown, and so it's easily accessible to, to Martin Luther King Center and get on a bus or whatever. Out there at 28th and Outer is going to be a different animal. And so I do think that needs to be addressed. I have had conversations with Chad Sheehan, and he said that they are in the process of addressing some of those issues.
All right, Kevin McCormick, thank you. We're going to move now on to our next question. The county is expected to receive $1.3 million in federal coronavirus aid. How do you think the county should spend that money, and what are some of those areas that need it the most? Let's start now with Kevin McCormick.
There's a lot of unknowns as far as where things are going to be going with COVID from here forward. And so it's difficult for me to say, who should get the money and how much they should get at this point. I will say that my main focus is and always will be on public health and safety. And so the first thing that I think of when it comes to putting that money out there is to Siouxland District Health and Sheriff's Department. I think that they are going to be the most important things that we focus on at this time. But like I say, there's still a lot of unknowns, and it'll take a while for us to iron out some of those details.
All right, Kevin McCormick, thank you. Now, Keith Radig, your answer to that question about coronavirus aid.
Sure thing. I want to just bounce back on the jail thing there too. We do have 13 other programs, diversionary programs. A lot of them focus on mental health. None of those intend to go away with the new jail. And then we have been working with Sioux City Transit on adding a route that goes by that area, just as a follow-up. But on corona relief, we don't really know what the extent of damage from coronavirus is going to be yet, because in November, that's when we get all the actual numbers of sales tax and hotel, motel, or whatever. All these different taxes finally come in November. And so right now, we should put that money into our reserves. Keep it aside so we know who's been affected the most as far as department. And I think we go through another budgetary process to ensure that the departments that were most affected are the ones that are also supported by that $1.3 million.
All right. Thank you, Keith Radig. The next question is, of course, a lot of concern about keeping tax levies low. Taxes always seem to be a big issue for everybody. And also, how do you still keep the taxes low but still fund everything that the county needs? How would you handle that situation? We're going to start with you, Keith Radig.
All right. Well, the way you do that is by growing. You have to continue to focus on economic development. And fortunately, we do have Sioux City in our county, and they have been kind of creating a snowball with their TIF dollars over the year, and we get a lot of TIF releases. So we've been able to grow by reducing our levy, but only growing our budget by a little bit dollar-wise. The other part of that is, with our gravel road problem, we have a formula that the state puts out, and when our property values are a certain dollar amount, then we have to spend a certain dollar amount on our secondary roads. So our secondary road budget increased by $2 million last year because of the sheer amount of value growth in Woodbury County. And we were able to reduce levies while still growing that department budget. When you look at our countywide levy at 713, it's the lowest it's been since 2003. People still watch TV back in 2003. YouTube wasn't invented. Facebook wasn't invented. It's been a long time since our levy has been this low. And I would like to just thank all the other supervisors I've worked with, because we worked together to make this happen over the last 4 years.
All right. Thank you, Keith. The same question to you, Kevin.
I think everyone, including myself, always wants the services, but we rarely do. We want to necessarily pay for them, especially any more than we need to. My biggest concern is that I don't want to see a situation like we have with the secondary roads, where the focus was on trying to decrease property taxes, which is great. I absolutely am in favor of that, but I think it comes at a cost, and unfortunately, I think like our secondary roads, they were neglected over many years, and I want to make sure that. We as a board are going to get out ahead of problems before they become a crisis. I'm going to do everything that I can to try and keep property taxes low as well. I do agree with Mr. Radig when he talks about economic development. I think that's huge, in this realm as well. And so I'm going to do everything that I can to try and, increase that as well.
All right. Thank you very much for the answer to that question. We're going to move now on to our final question. A few years ago, the board opted to leave the Sioux Rivers Regional Mental Health and Disability Services in order to join the Rolling Hills region. Did that decision improve the mental health and disability care for Siouxland residents? Let's start with you, Kevin McCormick.
Yeah, so this unfortunately is something that I can't necessarily speak intelligently about, so I'm a little reluctant to answer. But what I can tell you is that the research that I've done up to this point, I've talked to a lot of people, and they have suggested to me that with this changeover, it's possible that we're paying now more money for services and getting less services out of that money. I don't know if that's true, and again, I don't want to put that in the heads of people before I can figure out for sure what exactly is going on. I do know that. I'm a huge proponent for health and well-being, and so I want to do whatever we can to try and make sure that people are being well taken care of.
All right, thank you, Kevin McCormick. Keith Radig.
Well, this is you got to know the whole timeline on this to really know the story. And I've talked with some of the other supervisors that I used to serve with on the Sioux Rivers region, and they all agree now that this was a great move because it's better for them and it's better for us to go be at Rolling Hills. The state changed a lot of laws over the last 4 years, one of them being that you have to reduce the amount of reserves you have. So when you look at our budget 4 years ago at $1.5 million from property tax, it was that low because we had, $1 million or so of reserves going into that fund. So our spending didn't really increase as much as people say it did. The other part of that is that there were a lot of mandated things that we had to cover in mental health. And we were funding things that weren't mandated at the time in Sioux Rivers. So we had to make some changes there. And when we made the move to Rolling Hills, all the mandated required things by state law are now being done. And those are getting first priority funding. And our largest mental health provider in Woodbury County is very happy with it. And every other mental health provider I've talked to is also happy with it. And, you know, I'll just leave it at that. I think the move has been great for our residents. You know, Rolling Hills is doing so well. What, they have like three other counties asking to join it as well right now. So I think it just goes to show that we made the right move.
All right, Keith Raddick, thank you so much. You just heard from the candidates for the 1st District for Woodbury County Supervisor, incumbent Republican Keith Raddick, and Democrat Kevin McCormick. It's a live forum with the candidates for Woodbury County Supervisor. I'm Sheila Brummer. We're going to be back in just about 30 seconds.
Support for The Exchange comes from Gregory Giles, investment advisor, representative with Legacy Financial LLC in Sioux City, serving the financial planning and investment needs of clients.
So Sheila, if we're done, we
since 2004. Information about Legacy Financial and Greg Giles is available at legacyfinancialllc.com. Financial planning and advisory services offered through RDA Financial Network.
And you're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Sheila Brummer along with Mary Hartnett. Today we're doing a live forum with the candidates for the Woodbury County Board of Supervisors. Mary Hartnett has some final questions for the candidates in District 3.
Yeah, we have Marty Potabom and Jeremy Taylor. And now we've talked to the other candidates about the new jail under construction. I wanted to ask you both about your concerns about the funding of the jail, keeping it safe, and making sure that the jail is adequate now and in the future. I know there have been concerns because in the past, the current jail was not built in a way that you could add on, but apparently this jail is going to be built that way. I guess first I will go to Marty Potabom.
Well, first of all, I want to make sure that this one is done right. In the 80s, I was on the police department when we were looking at doing a joint city-county facility. I was on the labor management committee. And unfortunately, we had a chief of police and a sheriff that couldn't get along. So that was scrapped. So the taxpayers were burned with an additional several million dollars to build the two. And the jail that we currently have was designed to be able to build up two floors. But during the construction, the politicians got in the way and decided to save some short-term money by not going as deep and not funding it well enough so that they could add on. It was built to house 90 people, which didn't even make sense back then. But the idea was they could always add up if they had to. But unfortunately, because of political interference, they weren't able to do that. I want to make sure that doesn't happen with this one. This is a large project. We saw when we were selling the $25 million worth of bonds, they had offers to buy $72 million. So there's people interested in buying those bonds. And I think we ought to make sure we do it right. Personally, I'm not going to get involved in the day-to-day construction because that's not my forte, but I will watch the budget to make sure that it's being followed and hopefully we come in under budget and that the contracts are handled correctly.
And of course, it was a referendum earlier this year that passed that people in the county approved the jail. Jeremy, what are your concerns now we're going forward with the funding and everything else that goes along with it?
Well, it's to make sure that we don't end up 40 years from now in the same situation. There's a contrast between the last 5 years and the previous 30, and that's in long-term planning. So I am running on hard work and real results. So I brought in long-term facility plans, a project management group, the Baker Group, and they studied every one of our buildings. We are now the first all LED lit county in the state of Iowa. We have a law enforcement, a new one, that is going to be something that will last 100 years. For that reason, we're becoming the most energy efficient county. But that doesn't happen by itself. So I'm a we guy, but I'm also a we guy that offers ideas and real solutions and results. My other concern is something that I put forward. Part of the funding for this, paying off the bonds, is predicated on federal inmates. Well, what if they are not there to the degree that is anticipated? So I put forward a Taxpayer Protection Act where we would have a taxpayer friendly amendment, so to speak, and a resolution that says when that revenue is not forthcoming, or if it's not, then we will freeze operational expenditures elsewhere. We'll rely increasingly on CF revenue and other ways so that we don't keep going back to property taxes. Those are my concerns. I want to make sure it's done right and in a way that really takes into account our working families and our small businesses and make sure that we offer the real solutions and ideas that are going to help our county.
You know, I wanted to, and maybe I'll also ask Marty this too, which I hadn't asked you before about the jail. Marty, are you pleased that it's in the area that it's in, away from downtown?
Actually, yes. I didn't want to see it back downtown. I am concerned about the transportation. Most jail, the inmates have their morning court appearance, and that's when they're released. We do have a problem. We want to make sure that there is transportation, because a lot of those people in the current jail just walk out and they walk wherever they're going to go. Out there, there's nowhere to go to walk. So I'm hoping that we do. When Chad said he, you know, when Kevin said he's talked to Chad, that's good to hear. I haven't had a chance to talk to Sheriff Sheehan about that specific instance, but I believe we do have to make sure we have transportation available for the people coming and going at those times of day.
Jeremy, what do you think about the location?
I like where it's at, and I like where it's at because we took input from the chief of police. We took input from Sheriff Dave Drew. If you can remember, before on the board, there was a lot of contention when we passed board privatized courthouse security and did things that were putting politics ahead of people. We really sat down and collaborated with our partners and with this city-county authority, which speaks to the cooperation. And so in some respects, I like where these experts have said that this isn't a good location for them in terms of police transport and making sure that it works for all of our entities.
I wanted to bring up the county roads because the previous candidates mentioned funding the fixing of the gravel roads in the rural areas. Marty, it seems like this has been a tough thing to get going. How soon do you think that the county will be able to address the rural roads?
Well, we've got 700 and some miles of gravel roads we're planning on fixing. We had hoped to get started this year. Unfortunately, we're being sued by the Sergeant Bluff Luton School District saying that we can't use the TIF dollars for this. So that's set us back as the court hearing is set now for January. So until that court case is settled, we can't move forward with it. Again, we've lost a year. Our engineer, Mark Nara, who's a very good engineer, told us it'll take about 5 years to get the project done. I was told him I was hoping for three, so I'm hoping that somewhere in between we can get closer to four so we can make up the 1 year that we've lost by being sued for this. I think we're totally in the right. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I've never seen a court case where the two sides don't think they're in the right. But once we get that settled, we've got to get moving.
Jeremy.
Sure. Thank you for the question. So I heard my opponent misrepresent this the other day that we have frozen gravel spending for the last 5 years. It's been the last 30, and the county engineer confirms that. This has been an issue where gravel prices have almost doubled, and we're using about the same amount of aggregate. No greater contrast is here than in the fact that we met in every rural area under my chairmanship in 2016 and heard from residents. My opponent put forward a plan to float a bond issue of $10 million, which would be paid by property taxpayers over 5 years' time, single largest property tax increase in over 30 years. I came back a week after that and put in front of the board a plan to borrow from future CF Industries revenue, which will be about $55.9 million over the next 20 years' time. That's what the board supported, and I'm glad that they did so. And so we work as we, but we also have to have ideas and solutions. And so that's a contrast between one who will take care of services, in this regard, the county gravel roads, but do so while respecting property taxpayers, working families, and small businesses.
Marty, did you want to respond to that?
Yeah, first of all, when I brought it forward, all it was an information thing. I didn't bring together a plan. I brought together an idea to fix the roads, which is one of the things I ran on. And when I brought that forward as an information, I was told, well, we are interested in doing it, but we don't want it to cost tax dollars. I said, I'm fine with that. I don't care how we do it. I just want to make sure we get it done, because I'm a guy that wants to see results. I'm not there to take the credit for it. And then later I was told it was going to be on the agenda, but only if my name was taken off the top. And again, I don't care. I want to get things done. I'm not looking for the credit. And I'm happy to see that we've got it. At least once the lawsuit's done, we'll get it going.
I guess my next question has to do with the move to the Rolling Hills region from the Sioux Rivers Regional Mental Health and Disability Services area. I'll start with Jeremy, just because I know, Jeremy, you were very involved with this when it was going on. It was pretty controversial. Looking at it now, how do you feel about how that decision went?
I feel great. I think it's one of the best things that we've done as a county. It was an answer to a call longstanding on more oversight, transparency, and better delivery of mental health services. Look, everybody up here is running for office. What would you do but ask your largest mental health provider their opinion? Which I did. I sat down at the Friendship House at Siouxland Mental Health. They were the largest advocate. That's somebody that my opponent hasn't sat down with, and they've been very vocal about that. Our spending authority goes from about 3049, and you heard it earlier, to 4267 per capita. Roughly speaking, that means we can spend $4.2 million versus $3 million. And the only reason there was any greater spending for supposedly more services was because Sioux Rivers was relying on one-time funds that had to be spent down. So we did what was in terms the best thing for our residents, listening to our largest mental health provider. And I've sat down with the families who've been so pleased as we stand up children's mental health. We have now added mobile crisis, and we actually have more weight as a county in a 4-4 vote. This vote would actually go Woodbury County's way. And that's exactly what happened when I sat on the board. My opponent didn't sit down with our largest mental health provider, nor ask any of us who actually sat on Sioux Rivers or on Rolling Hills for the information. And that's a difference between us in terms of putting people ahead of politics and really caring deeply about mental health services.
Marty.
Yeah, when this came up, if you remember, I voted against leaving Sioux Rivers because I thought if you have there's three counties, I thought we should be able to work it out. I think it was more of a personality thing than anything. I serve on the Third Judicial District Board with members of the Plymouth County and Sioux County Board of Supervisors, and I get along just fine with them. But that being said, I voted not to leave it, and I still will stand by that. But once that vote was done, again, I like to see results. My goal then changed. I voted for most of the changes into Rolling Hills. I want to see it work. I want to see it work for our citizens. You know, we spent $62,000 on lawyer fees to get out of Sioux Rivers. Money that we didn't need to spend. I think if we had just gotten along and worked it out with Sioux Rivers, we could have stayed there. But again, that's done. I don't want to go back. I'm not looking to go back. I'm looking at making it work where we're at now. And that's part of being a results guy and being a team member. I didn't like the lead, but once it was done, we move forward and we make it work for the citizens of Woodbury County.
And I'd also like to ask about property taxes. A lot of concerns, as some people here on this forum today have mentioned, about people coming in, not being able to afford their property taxes, going in and trying to get them reduced. A lot of concerns about those. Marty, what do you think about that, keeping property taxes low? No one wants to pay a lot more, but what do you think, how do you think, I guess, the board has done when it comes to the property tax issue?
I think we've done a good job. I mean, nobody wants to pay more property taxes, let's face it. But as a government entity, you have services you have to provide, and our source of income is taxes. And unfortunately, we have to look at those. But I think we've done a good job of holding the taxes down. I think most of the services haven't been affected. I think we're moving forward in a good way. But you have to remember, part of what we're doing right now, and we're looking this year, is because the city of Sioux City just reassessed most of their city. People are mad about that, because even if their levies went down, their taxes went up. If you look at your tax stub, everybody just looks at the bottom line. They don't look at the levy. They look at how much they're paying. And if the levies go down, the assessments go up, you're paying more in taxes. And that's part of the juggling act we have to do to try to make sure that we're good fiduciaries of those tax dollars, we spend them in the proper manner, and that we don't try to take more than we really need to function as a county.
Jeremy, I know this has been a big issue for you in the times in the past when you've been on the board.
Absolutely. So there is no greater issue in my heart than growing our community the right way in our county. And taxes are a key integral part of that. I mean, look at what's happened with Dakota Dunes, Plymouth County, and surrounding areas. And we wonder why we don't grow. We were second highest out of 27 counties in 100-mile radius. Since being on the board and over the last 5 years, it's fallen now to 8. But why? Because we do line-by-line budgeting, but we also have to have creative solutions. So when countywide, we needed paramedics, and when Siouxland paramedics went away, people said, well, there's an either-or choice. You're either going to raise taxes or you're going to lose this critical service. I looked to other areas and put forward a plan where we could reduce elsewhere. And today we have countywide paramedics with no loss of service and without a tax increase. I put forward a $28 million property tax relief plan, dedicating one out of every $2 from future CF Industries revenue. I alluded to it earlier. As the Sioux City Journal reported, my opponent wanted a quick resolution to the county roads, even if it meant raising property taxes. That's a very stark difference between those who are going to decide between us whether we will keep property taxpayers in mind and actually have real results and solutions that the whole team supports and that others buy into, or whether we'll simply go and raise property taxes time and again. I think you know where I stand in this issue. Siouxland Chamber, others in the business community and working families have supported my campaign for that very reason. I'll fight for taxpayers and look out for them in the end.
Okay, you're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media.
And now we actually are going to have our candidates answer another question. I know the coronavirus is on the minds of so many people. That's like the number one concern we're hearing from our listeners right now. Woodbury County has a positivity rate of 14.6%. I just checked the Iowa coronavirus website. We've had 74 deaths, more than 6,000 positive cases. What do you think government should do? Should we have a mask mandate for sure for the county? What kind of, I guess, response do you think that we've seen so far locally and nationally to help people when it comes to this national health crisis? We're going to start now. Rocky DeWitt, are you still on the line? We'll start with you, Rocky.
I think Rocky.
Yes, I am.
There you are, yep. Rocky. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm here.
And Rocky, we were talking about the pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic. What do you think should be done as far as the response? Do you think enough is being done to help prevent the virus? Because Woodbury County right now, we have a 14-day positivity rate of 14.6%. Siouxland District Health says we need to have it in the low single digits for it to not be a community spread health concern for everybody in the county.
Well, I'm not one of those that believes in all the numbers in that. Okay, that's what I'm going to say. Just because there's a positive case doesn't mean somebody is sick. I think that so much of this information that's getting to the media is perceived as 14.6% of the people are sick with coronavirus. We carry around cold and flu germs and viruses with us all the time, just like this coronavirus. I do not necessarily believe in the mask mandate, and I'll just say it here and now. If this thing is so deadly and so bad, what good is a mask going to do that you take home and wash with the rest of your laundry? Okay. Where are all the biohazard trash bins for these masks? Where's all the gowns? Where's all the gloves? I just don't quite buy into this. And yes, I think the county has done everything that they possibly can to keep services going. We kept the courthouse open. We don't have that much of an illness rate at the courthouse. I just struggle with some of this all in general. So,
well, the positivity rate, it's for new cases, the 14-day positivity rate, and that's what the governor set to kind of be the benchmark for schools to apply for virtual learning. It was a 14% threshold. That's what the governor set up. And also, I think some people, when it comes to masks, I think some of the medical experts say what you're doing is slowing the curve. You're helping prevent other people from getting sick when you wear a mask. But that's according to the medical experts that we've been listening to and following here at Siouxland Public Media. We're going to move now on to Challenger Patty Erickson Putman for District 5. What are your thoughts and concerns about the coronavirus?
I think that coronavirus is something that has to be dealt with. We have to ask everybody to participate and reduce as much as we can the spread. I believe you said we had 74 deaths in Woodbury County alone, directly related to the coronavirus. I think the coronavirus has a fatality rate of more than twice what a flu season does, which, you know, we've been told lately that there's nothing difference, but you know, it's just like the flu. I beg to differ. The mortality rate is extremely, considerably higher with coronavirus. I think it's our responsibility. I don't look at wearing a mask as necessarily protecting myself. I look at it as protecting those people around me. This thing is wicked. It evolves. We now know that kids can transport it to adults. There's a real concern there. And I think that everybody, we want to talk about we. I think there's a real call for everybody to get together and flatten that curve as much as what we can.
All right, Patty Erickson Putnam. Now let's go to District 3 candidates. Let's start with Republican Jeremy Taylor. Jeremy?
So I think one of the critical things, and you heard it earlier in this, is to work with Siouxland District Health. They have a great team between Kevin Graham and Tyler Brock in terms of educating the public. Best practices are what need to govern. In terms of a mask mandate and enforcing in public areas and otherwise, nearly everywhere I go, people are wearing masks already indoors, whether that's in all of our schools, whether that's in private businesses, and in areas where socially distancing isn't a possibility. And so I think that the county passing a mask mandate isn't necessarily the solution. I think we need to work on education. We need to flatten that curve otherwise. And we need to work with our National Guards members who have been doing an absolutely fantastic job in terms of COVID testing sites, delivery of PPE. I've worked with a lot of these soldiers that have just been doing incredible work. And so I think coordination and education is the better route to go rather than thinking that merely by mandating we're going to solve this issue.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy Taylor. Let's move now to Marty Puttebaum, the Democratic candidate incumbent for District 3.
First of all, COVID is real. Let's not get any mistake about that. Two of my best friends are doctors, and they're constantly getting mad at people that are saying, hey, it's like the flu. Don't worry about it. You're not going to get sick. I'm going to tell you, we can't do a mandate. Pure and simple, the governor said counties and cities don't have that authority. You notice what the Sioux City City Council did. They passed a resolution. Mostly it was just to show people that they're serious about it and asking people to wear masks in public. A mask isn't the cure-all. A mask is the way to slow down the spread, try to make sure, you know, I wear a mask most of the time when I'm out in public. I try to do it all the time. Sometimes I forget, but I'm trying to do it as much as I can. But I think we as elected officials need to set an example. You know, when we have our meetings, we have our chairs set out for the people out in the audience to be 6 feet apart. We sit, about two and a half feet apart. And as far as I can see, for a while, one other one was, but lately it's just been me wearing a mask as well as our auditor. And I don't think we're setting a very good example there. I think we have to show people it's real. We need to do something. You know, we have to have a plan of some type. I'm just not sure how we're going to get it there.
All right. Thank you, Marty Puttebaum. Let's move now to District 1, Republican Keith Radig. Keith?
Sorry, I had to unmute there. You know, I think the county's been very proactive as far as it can be. You know, I know that the supervisors don't really believe in a mask mandate. And when we were, you know, we had asked, I specifically was the one who had asked Kevin Green, you know, whether or not we should require masks. And we were told at the time that that shouldn't be necessary, that the virus is so small that these masks won't help. The N95 masks would, and that he doesn't want us all to go buy those because those are needed for medical professionals. So, you know, the other side of it is, you know, county versus city. You know, most people are getting out in nature and going out to county parks and spending time outside. You know, that's what you want. Get vitamin D, get some, you know, time in the sun, relaxation. That's what you need, not, you know, hide in your closet wearing a mask. So, I mean, we obviously not every, I'm saying that as people, we just need to live our lives and still enjoy our lives. And, you know, if you want to wear a mask, I defend your right to wear that mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, I defend your right to not wear a mask.
And Keith, what happens though, as we head into the winter, you know, it's great to be outside, but when it gets colder and we have to be indoors, I know Nebraska Medicine, they had a news conference this week talking about how they were really worried about the upcoming flu season as well as COVID together.
Well, yeah, now you do start seeing cases of flu out there. And, you know, we get something like 3,000 people tested every week. That's incredible, you know, for the amount of testing. And we are seeing a spike in cases right now, but we're also seeing kids back in school and more interaction of people than what was happening. And, you know, the initial projections, we were looking at possibly 800 fatalities in Woodbury County alone. And I was really scared. I'll admit that, you know, and I'm very glad to see that the actual numbers are nowhere near as deadly as those initial projections. And, you know, if you're an at-risk person, I would strongly urge you to wear a mask. Just to me, it seems like, you know, a no-brainer. But if you are a healthy and, you know, good shape person, I don't know that you have as much to be afraid of. And of course, medical treatments have changed and gotten better, and there's a little more time behind us now.
Okay. Well, we're kind of running a little short on time, but we have one more person to answer the question about COVID-19. That's Democrat for the District 1 supervisor seat, challenger Kevin McCormick. Kevin?
Yeah, so this one's pretty easy for me. I'm a mask guy, okay? And I understand that it's probably not doing a whole lot to help me necessarily, but it's helping my friends and my neighbors. And it's helping to slow the curve. I do think that the county has done a decent job as far as trying to slow the spread in the courthouse and everything else. But I agree with Supervisor Potabom. I think from a leadership perspective, I would have liked to have seen our supervisors wearing those masks early on. Up there behind the podium, just to show other people that this is an important thing. The other issue that I have is we don't know what the long-term effects are from this virus yet. And so, you know, you might get it and you might not have any serious effects or, you know, whatever the case may be, but we don't know what could come down the pipe as a result of this virus. And when we talk about deaths, you know, if they projected 800, obviously that's crazy, but just one death is bad enough, okay? Because it has such a ripple effect, I guess. It affects everybody in the family and friends and loved ones. And so 76 deaths, that's a lot of people that have died in our county. And so if we could do something simple like wear a mask, then I say, let's do it. Let's get this over with.
And that is the end of today's forum. Thank you so much to all the candidates for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking this hour out of your time to join us. You've been listening to Siouxland Public Media, KWIT Sioux City, 90.3 and KWIT.
Oh, right. And also, Ashia, I just want to say people tune in tonight at 8 o'clock. For the vice presidential debate.
Yes, we have special coverage here on Siouxland Public Media. We have Senator Kamala Harris, the California, and Vice President Mike Pence. You can listen tonight live at 8 o'clock on Siouxland Public Media. Thanks again to the candidates for joining us for Woodbury County Supervisor. The big thing is get out and vote. The election is coming up on November 3rd. Thanks for listening to Siouxland Public Media.